starting to describe the devil and how wicked he is, what a terrible creature he is, and how he hates good and is always evil. The Lord said he's a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning and a murderer. And we looked extensively at the bondage in which Christ can bring us. Tonight I want to shift gears a little bit and still talk about a serpent, but in a different way tonight. The Bible is so interesting when it takes different things and makes them the way they are to help us understand things about the Lord. Back in Numbers chapter 21, beginning of verse 4, there's a situation that arose because the people of Israel were murmuring. Now, that was unusual for them, you understand. They were usually quite content, not. But the Lord had enough of it for a time, and he sent fiery serpents among them. Turn to Numbers 21, if you would please, in verse 4. We'll read just a moment. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. It shall be that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So here's a totally different view of a serpent. And in the New Testament, it has quite a different meaning with regard to this. Lifting it up on the pole, I looked for bronze serpents. I couldn't find them, but we see serpents all in a ball there. And they're fearsome. I hate snakes. We had a little ground snake in our house one time. My wife had called me about it, and later on, Sister Evelyn Anderson over in Woodmont, we told her that was a snake in the house, and we killed it. She said, "Why didn't you let it out? Why didn't you pick it up and put it out?" I said, "I kill snakes. I kill snakes. I don't like snakes." So just looking at that bunch of snakes does something. But imagine snakes coming in and going around and biting us. And it's a terrible thing to think about. But the people had sinned against God. And that's what happened. So we look at serpents tonight in a whole different way. As Jesus said in John 8, other verses in the New Testament, how terrible Satan is. It's amazing that the Bible is able to take the same figure and turn it completely around as he does here. There are types in the Bible, and a type is a figure, a representation, or a symbol of something to come, as an event in the Old Testament foreshadows another in the New Testament. And this is from Nelson's Bible Dictionary. A bronze serpent on a pole is a type of Christ on the cross, the remedy for sin. Isn't that amazing? The idea that we could look at the lesson this morning about how evil the serpent, the Satan, really is, and we know that's true. And then in the Old Testament, we'll have a different look at that as we see an analogy that tells us something about Jesus Christ and is a type. Well, wherever there's a type, there's an anti-type. And so there is also an anti-type, 1 Peter 3:18 through 20, which now saves us, namely baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here, baptism is the antitype to Noah's flood. You have the water, is actually the water that saved people because it cut off the old sinful world, and water saved the people of Noah's day. And then when you come to baptism, water cuts off our sins through the blood of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. So you have a type and an antitype, and in all of those things, God is giving us a way to better understand things that take place. I can look at what happened in Noah's day, and see the flood and the things that happened there, and then look at baptism, and 1 Peter talks about that. So I can really understand better the imagery between Noah's day and the baptism of the New Testament. And so here are the types. In John 3:14-15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the theme of the Bible. That's really so much what the Bible is saying. And we're able to understand it because of the illustrations, the type and the antitypes that the Bible gives us. And God has been so helpful in explaining things down on our level, as we often quote John 3 and Nicodemus' confusion about the new birth. Jesus was very clear in answering that as the things of the flesh and the things of the spirit. And then in Romans 6, he explains further the new birth as he talks about being born again and in baptism, and you put on new life in that. So these things help us. And we have these things here with regard to the bronze serpent. And so the Numbers book tells us that the people complained, and so often they did that. God did not remove the serpents, but he provided a remedy. Now that's a deep thought. That's something to recognize in our life, that many times God does not remove obstructions and God does not remove obstacles from us, but it provides faith to be able to overcome those kinds of things. And so here is a remedy for sin that the people had to accept by faith and do that, and God was able to provide that remedy. Well, the serpent had to be lifted up because the analogy was regarding Christ being lifted up on the cross. And so the analogy fits just exactly the way God intended for it to, and the serpent had to be looked upon. People today say, well, you don't really have to be baptized. Well, which of the elements of the analogy would you remove? Would you remove the cross, Jesus being lifted up on the cross? Would you remove the serpent being lifted up on the pole? Would you remove the fact that they had sinned and needed a remedy? You see, when you look at these analogies, it tells you what's important, what's absolutely essential. And so the serpent had to be looked upon, and that was an act of faith. Now, we recognize in the Bible there are many miracles that took place that don't make sense in the world. Jesus, for example, spit on the clay and anointed the clay on the eyes of a blind man, and the blind man could wash in the pool of Siloam and come seeing. What medical procedure was that? Nothing. It was simply an act of a miracle by God, and the person had to have the faith to do that. You see the same thing in the Old Testament with Naaman being a leper. And the Lord told him through the prophet to go and wash in the river Jordan seven times. And he was angry, but this little maiden said, if he had told you to do some great thing, you'd have done that. Why not just go do what he said? He did that, and he was cleansed of his leprosy. We see faith and obedience working together. Now, in the New Testament, there's quite a contrast between faith and works. The Jewish notion of works was that they could work their way to heaven and God owed them salvation. And they did not seek it by faith, Romans 9 tells us. They didn't seek that by faith. Well, here was Naaman and others who by faith did what God said to do. And as ridiculous as it sounds, I wouldn't today do what they did. I wouldn't go find me a serpent on a pole and look at it. If a serpent bit me, I'd go to the doctor. You see, we're in a different realm here. We're talking about different things that have to do with God foretelling things that were important. And so when we look back at the brazen serpent on the pole, we can recognize that God was foreshadowing a story that would be true in Jesus Christ. So the serpent had to be looked upon. That was the only remedy. The only remedy. There was no doctor there. There was no one to lay hands on. There was no antidote except looking at that. Strangely enough, the serpent was eventually turned into an idol. We're told the people began to worship that thing. And in 2 Kings 18, Hezekiah said, Nehushtan, that brazen thing, and he broke it to pieces. Because he recognized the people had begun to idolize. And I think maybe that's one reason why Noah's Ark has never been found. You find You find people tend to make an idol of something. Back during the Dark Ages, we had the true wood of the cross. We had seven or eight heads of John the Baptist floating around Europe during that time. And people would kiss those things and idolize those things. And then there's the Shroud of Turin and all these various things. People forget the important thing and tend to idolize the very thing they ought to recognize. Here we have an example of that. That the serpent actually became an idol and people worshiped that thing. Good King Hezekiah put an end to that because he said it's just a brazen thing made out of brass. And he had it destroyed. Well, the cross of Christ is really important. God does not promise to remove sin from our existence. We're still in a world where we can sin, but he gave us the remedy. And I can see the remedy from the brazen serpent as God intended to be. There's only one remedy for sin. There's only one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And so the question is, will you look upon Jesus and be saved through the gospel? How much faith do you have? The faith that those people had to look upon the serpent is the same kind of faith that I need in Jesus Christ. As that was the remedy for sin and their complaining, now baptism and the blood of Christ, as Christ is lifted up, is the cure for sin. Now that's a short lesson. You might be surprised that it's over. But the point of the matter is that we had this morning a long dissertation on the idea of the serpent in the garden, the serpent who is recognized by Jesus Christ as Satan, and the enemy that he's brought to us and how much damage he's done to the human family. So I wanted tonight to sort of turn and look at God's book, the amazing thing that God could take another serpent issue and turn it into a blessing that typified Jesus Christ, the antitype of that serpent on the pole. As we look at the Bible, God has made it easy to understand it. There's no excuse for people not understanding the Word of God. First of all, people don't read it. They just don't read the Bible. They don't come to God unless they have some tragedy. When those sort of thing happens, then they try to immediately receive all the blessings at once, but they haven't had the faith to do that. So the lesson tonight is rather short, but I wanted to use this as a contrast to the morning lesson, help us understand the types and antitypes of the Bible, and there are many more. You remember Jacob on the ladder and various things, Abraham did to be saved, and those things are picked up in the book of Romans to say that we're saved like Abraham was saved. So these are all good points. I hope and pray that if anyone is here tonight who's out of duty in any way, that you'll have the courage and faith to look upon Jesus and to repent of sins and ask God for forgiveness. We ask you to come while we stand and sing together.